Welcome to the Stabcast, a podcast dedicated to Star Wars Legion.
Well, look at you, a general, huh?
Someone must have told him about my little maneuver at the Battle of Tenev.
Welcome, cadets and commanders, to Stabcast, the Sunsphere Tactical Attack Brigade Star Wars Legion podcast. I'm Ben, played two games Fowler, with Tim, woe is me, Hannon, and Ryan, Adepticon's fifth podcaster, Slowoski. Welcome, gentlemen. How are y'all doing today?
I'm exhausted.
Doing good. Always full of woe, as normal. That's fine. But this week on Stabcast, we have a merry anniversary episode.
Yay!
And in addition to this, we have reports from Adepticon from all of us that were there, and first impressions of the new factions, and much more.
So this week's battle reports are going to be super short. We're trying to get you to the Adepticon stuff. I have played two games since the last podcast, so that was a thing.
Hooray!
The first was against Arch Enemy the podcast, so we won't speak of it. Good to know that I just beat the tar out of him, beat him hard. I'm rolling around with Veers, one strike team of snipers, three full storms, two officer-led snowtroopers with flamethrowers, and one three-man Royal Guard unit, because I was out of points. So I flamethrowered some Pathfinders, Archie made the podcast, ran right off the table. Much weeping, gnashing of teeth, pulling of hair, sackcloth, the whole shebang. So I won the rights to fight Ryan.
Yes.
Table that clearly had a better side. And so if you remember our conversations from the last podcast, we talked about bids. Turns out those are actually pretty important. So
who would have thought?
Who would have thought that was a thing? So Ryan looks at the table. He's like, I'm definitely taking this side. And it was a pretty good side. The table wasn't super well balanced with the possible deployments. He was going to have all the cover. I was going to be walking mostly in the broad daylight without any clothes on. He's just going to be able to shoot me. No armored. And so it becomes a real-life game of Red Player's Dilemma. It's what happened to me. I can't give Ryan any advantage to do anything. And so we ended up playing a minefield, breakthrough, and major offensive. My guys were going to have to step out in the open. Ryan was going to have cover for most of his approach. And so my plan was we just make it difficult, and I should sit back here and fire until I have to approach to put one man in on his side. And the problem is I kind of tried to do both those plans at the same time, and it didn't work all that well. Yeah, it was a thing. It was
right.
It's a death trap. He's got snipers and Wookiees. I'm not likely to win this game. From turn zero, Ryan and I are talking about how uphill this is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of make a joke about how he's going to say, oh, turn zero, Ben messed this up real hard. I tried to do two things. I tried to play anti-breakthrough. And also advance at the same time. And I should have done one or the other.
Yeah, you also kind of deployed a bit all over the place. Where, if I remember rightly, because this was like 10, 12 Legion games ago for me, you put your guards in a really weird spot and kind of like charged them up into death. They didn't really support the rest of your army. And then you had a set of snows and a set of storms try to creep around this building, which was probably your best set of cover and where, in my mind, probably the majority of your army should have gone. And it just wasn't enough. I think you had a really strong center, but then your two flanks were too weak. And then I just didn't engage your center force for break, because it is breakthrough. As long as I can go around, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I tried to defend the wings and it. I defended them. I mean, at the end, before you had murdered all of my units, I think you just had two units in there. I mean, I put a hurting. I did. I put a stop to some things before they got there, but it just wasn't enough. I was outnumbered. Ryan had more activations than I did. It was just, yeah. And I did not roll them, so be honestly. So listen, I didn't roll them off the table.
For once, yeah.
So, and I was outnumbered, and I was on a map that didn't favor me. So, you know. If Ryan can get those three things together, he can beat me.
Moral of the story here, folks, is bring a three-point bid and you can beat Ben.
That's exactly what happened. Three-point bid, I was out. 797, you're fine. I'm likely playing an 800-point list.
Boo bid. That's right. Although, see? Like a real man.
To be honest, actually, in the car ride down, I'm like, I think I'm at 792, and I was. And Ryan's like, oh, you should definitely do this and do this. And next thing I know, I was at 800 points.
Were sabotaged. Sabotaged.
He talked me into it.
Yeah, that's because you didn't have frag grenades on your snowtroopers. You're going to tell me that I'm sabotaging you?
Ryan was playing turn minus one.
That's exactly it.
You guys heard it from Ben here first. Don't take frag grenades on snowtroopers.
I thought I had them on there. I'll be honest with you. I actually thought they were there. And then when doing the math, I was looking at the list. Oh, they're not on there. Why are they not? Like, I put them in the box. Like, I had my entire list together and ready to go when you came to my house, which never happens. They often will talk me into a list as we drive to a location, and then we get it out of the box. But I was prepared for this one. I had stayed up late to make sure I had everything. And I had frag grenades in the box. They just weren't on my list, and they weren't in the right point value. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's one of those days. So, Tim, tell us about one of your games.
I was going to say, well, speaking of frag grenades, I had a couple, and I think I got to use them once. So that was neat. I, being it is what it is, I played tonight, lost tonight to a good friend, Mr. Brandon. He's local here. Played Brandon, had a great time, great game. We had decently similar lists. It was an Imperial. We were both learning how to use Death Troopers. He just learned better than I did. He had two Death Troopers, both of the DLT, Krennic, Veers, four DLT Storms, two Snipers, and that was his list. And then my list was Krennic, just the Krennic, with Boba. One Death Trooper with DLT, two DLT Storms, one Sniper, a Royal Guard, and then two Snows with the Flamers and Frags. It was interesting. We had an interesting map, pretty good map. We both made mistakes with the new things. I learned that Standby does not work the way I thought it did, and that I've always played Standby wrong. The whole, I don't know, three times in my life I've ever used a Standby before now. I don't know how the heck Standby works. So I threw down round one because I was going to get a jump on them and get my guys in position with Overwatch, my Death Troopers in. So I threw down Deploy the Garrison, round one. Boom. Get a Standby token on them. They move, and then everyone says, okay, now move your Standby token off of them because they moved. I went, oh, what?
I went to the RRG on my cell phone. I'm like, it says it right here.
Yes.
Oh, Tim was quite sad.
Well, it wasn't that I didn't believe you. I just didn't know. And so but unfortunately, it wasn't found out until after that it already happened, and I couldn't just go back and pick a different card. Cards are down. It's too late. So that card was pretty much 100% wasted. So that was good time.
Which is sad because in my mind, that's his best card.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great card. And it would have actually really come in clutch later in the game. Might have really helped me out. But didn't. It's okay. This is how we learn. And then on his end, he forgot to use his DLT on his Death Troopers up until about turn 2.5. And then he went, oh, I should be throwing those dice too. I said, yes, you should.
So, I feel like they should have called that card like the DLTS, like it's an Apple product. Because it's like red, red, white die, and so they put an S on it, charge some extra points for it, but it just does a little bit more.
That's right. Oh, man. Well, and I didn't know he had it. I told him, if I had known you had it, I would have been telling you, hey, don't you want to use that? Because I know it's new stuff for the both of us.
Right.
Anyway, we play key positions, major offensive, clear conditions, boo, hiss. When it came down to the deployment stuff, I didn't really have any cover I could use for my position. So what ended up happening was there were two of the key positions right in the middle. And obviously they were enough distance apart as they had to be, but they were still pretty much in the middle. So I had to move up way more than my list wanted me to.
Right.
And being that, again, I am what I am, I never listen to my own advice. I say pretty solid things, and then I don't listen to them, and I don't think about them, right. And then I kick myself, and that's why I get so mad at myself, among other things. And so, of course, I took my Boba, and I flew him right in the middle, and to my defense, he was in heavy cover. He should have been fine. However, when they're rolling natto crits, you can't do anything about it, and you roll blanks. It's how it goes. All I needed was paint, and I got no paint.
Like I've said before, you can't Guardian if you just throw crits.
Well, and that's the thing. At one point, there were the Royal Guards were next to him. They were going to take the hit, and then he just got natural crits. And so I said, okay, never mind. And Boba literally died the end of round one. I was devastated. To Brandon's credit, he never stopped telling me pretty much for most of the game, well, man, I think you got this. I still think you got this. And I appreciate that. I'm not patronizing him. I really do genuinely appreciate that. That's a good sportsmanship. But no, It was incorrect. It was very incorrect.
And Brandon is a man of boundless optimism. He will be optimistic for you even when you can't be. And Tim is a man of pretty constant pessimism. He is a man of sorrow, but also a man of pessimism. So that's fun to listen to their games.
I call it realism, but that's fine. Yeah. And it just comes with, once you lose enough games, you learn what it looks like early on. And you go, oh, that's what's wrong. This is just going to get worse for me. Okay, cool. All right, neat. Let's see how much worse it gets. It got worse.
I think that's how you can tell that you're becoming more and more of an experienced player, is you can see for win or for lose earlier on whether you're going to win or lose.
Yes. Yeah. But it was still fun. We had a good time. Again, it helped me learn some new things about new cars and new units. I like Krennic a lot. If you played to his strengths, his command cards can be really good. I think, again, if played right, if the right list with the right mindset, the right playstyle, he can be super powerful. I'm not personally a huge fan, but again, that's just for me. I'm not saying he's bad at all.
Tim, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Before our next show, for our next battle report, can either, like, me and you co-oply build a Krennic Vader list and have you run it?
I would love to have that, because I do think Krater? Wow.
Krennic Vader. That's the new list name.
There it is, Krater.
The Krater list.
There it is.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Hot take. I think Krater can work pretty good, but I just think it's going to get finagled.
I think all of their cards complement each other so well in their abilities. Absolutely. Like, Vader with a standby token, that's since he can't take suppression, he's immune to. Yeah. Annihilation looms into Master of Evil or vice versa to just start a big suppression wave.
Yeah,
no, I think that could be a fun list.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, again, there's credit there. I'm not going to play it competitively yet. I need to try it out a few times. But I definitely think there's some merit there. But right now, my kind of view of Krennic is kind of like a sitcom character. And he does really funky little things and kind of nifty things. And he does it and you go, Krennic. Oh, Krennic, you silly man. Look at you. You won that. I've played a one pip. You played a one pip. Krennic, I get to go first. Good for you, bud.
Speaking of Krennic, I got to support the internet memes. On the day we get our article about Krennic, we also get news of two other things. And he's you know. It dampens the Krennic release news. So,
yeah.
Bravo on those memes, people. Bravo on those memes.
That's the way it should be. Now, to be fair, also on the Death Troopers side, Death Troopers were amazing. Absolutely play them. They're great. No complaints.
Yeah, they're going to be really fun.
Yeah, they're really good.
Well, speaking of playing competitively, Ryan, what were you doing all last weekend?
The reason this show is late is because I had the supreme pleasure of going to Adepticon this year to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Legion and to play in both the Last Chance Qualifier and the High Command Invitational. I really stayed in, like, the same 100 square feet of the convention center the entire time. I didn't really get to do a whole lot of the other convention-y things with the exception of maybe Thursday. I took some hobby classes because, you know, I'm the competitive tryhard of our group here. And I'm always urging, you know, our listeners to go and try to be better players and to compete more and to hone those edges. But where I really need to hone those edges is in my painting and terrain making and the hobby aspect. So I took some classes on how to do that Thursday. But then, it was just four games of Legion, then four more games of Legion, then two games of Team Legion, and then a car ride at home. I barely remember.
He's mostly asleep. Will sent me photos.
I actually drove most of the way down. Thank you very much.
What was the way down? All the way back?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
While sleeping? I thought you said you don't remember it.
Well, I slept, and then I asked our former co-host, Will, this is one of the reasons he got replaced, to say, hey, if I drive, when Justin, our other car mate, wants me to take over driving, get some rest so you can talk to me and keep me awake. Within about an hour, I was the only one awake in the car. Of course. After playing two high-level competitive tournaments. Yeah, it was a fun time.
Speaking of comparisons to last year, Ryan, tell me about the tables. Last year was the very first Legion tournament that they had at Adepticon. They had nice terrain. We were super impressed with it. Had some beautifully painted models set up for us to use if we had not bought, because they weren't for sale yet. They had just shown up. So how did the setup this year look?
So I got to help with setup a little bit, not as much as I would have liked to, on Thursday night beforehand. And the Arizona crew who runs the Critical X podcast that you guys should totally check out. Brendan Franz and Nathan and Bushman all like took a 20-hour road trip up here with a van full of terrain. Imperial Terrain bust in a whole bunch of tables. They had a table competition for people who wanted to provide terrain to help with that hobby aspect of the game. The tables, not all tables were created equal, but the worst table that we had to play on was probably at least on par with the best tables we got to play on last year.
Nice.
The setups were absolutely incredible. They weren't always, in air quotes, the most balanced, but that was okay because you had to be ready to play on whatever. Like, there were some tables that just didn't have a whole lot of line of sight blockers. There were some tables that had a lot, and it just varied from table to table. And every table, deployment-wise, both players had a good mix of whatever that table was there to provide. But for some lists, some tables were better than others. But through my eight games, I will only say that one table absolutely screwed me to where I was really behind the eight ball before the game started. And I only crushed one table because the table was so good for me and so bad for my opponent. So it kind of evened out.
I like that though. I think that gives a good balance to really everyone. I think by the tables themselves not being individually balanced, I think that the whole thing is nice and balanced out of saying you can't just say, oh, all the tables cater to this kind of list. It's some you win some, you lose some kind of thing, and it forces you to be a better player, really, and to be adaptable. And I think for a competition as lofty as Adepticon, I think that's a good thing to have. Helps weed it out.
Yeah, and I think you have to keep two things in mind. A, I wouldn't do something like that for your 3-4 table monthly local tournament.
Sure.
I think you have to make it all the tables a little bit even if there's going to be not a whole lot of variance. But since there were 30 different tables, really 32 if you count two streaming tables, for us to play on,
right?
You really didn't know what you were going to get. And then the next thing you have to do, which the TOs did a fantastic job on, is the tables, unlike an X-Wing tournament, weren't seated. You were on a random table. So it's not like if you won, your table number went up. If the only way that kind of worked was on the stream tables, because obviously they were putting the big-name players and the people who were undefeated on the streaming tables. But otherwise, I made the joke early in the day in the Last Chance qualifier. I started on table 29 of 30. And then later that day, I moved to table 30 and I made the joke that I can only go up from here. And then I ended up going down because it was all random.
And we've had this conversation before, especially in X-Wing, where part of what your success comes from your ability and skill as a player. Part of it is from sheer luck. It is the list that you draw against. It's the placement of obstacles. And so sometimes your map is what helped. I mean, there's a healthy luck component to placing well at these high stakes tournaments.
Yeah.
Winning a tough game of Legion, I think, is I'm not going to quite call it equal parts, but you got to have a lot of skill with what you're playing. You just can't throw whatever the meta list is together if there is a meta list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a healthy, it's mostly skill, but it's also that.
Yeah. You got to play what you're comfortable with, but then you also, a good matchup really goes a long way, and a good table goes a long way.
Sure.
I think all of these things, I think if you can get two of those three things going your way, then you can probably have an advantage going into a game, but that's tough.
So Adepticon was my first real minis conference. I've been to Gen Con before, and I was super impressed with other games' table setups. And the photos of the tables I saw this year for Legion were fantastic. Like, they truly fit in what Adepticon does so well. It's beautiful tables to play on.
So for those of us that might need some kind of last chance, what was the last chance qualifier like? I don't fully know what that means, but it sounds like it's something for those of us that maybe didn't make the initial cut to get into the Adepticon. Again, I'm not talking about myself here because I'm way below that. But I'm talking for those that are in the in-between. So what is that for?
So basically the way the High Command Invitational worked, and from how we understand Worlds will work next year, they were invites to High Command handed out throughout the year, starting at Gen Con and going through the last chance qualifier. And basically, after all the invites had been given out, or a good chunk of them, through the Michigan GT, through Gen Con, through the LVO, and I want to say there was another place that I'm blanking on where some invites were given out. that you could have gone 4-0 and won an invitation to High Command where there's 32 seats. They basically took all the open tickets they had left, all the people who had been invited and maybe couldn't make it to High Command, and they opened up that many seats and had a 64-man tournament for the last chance qualifier where the last, I think there were 11, the top 11 got invites.
Oh, nice.
Because okay. We had 11 open seats left.
I like that.
And so that way we would have a full 32 on Saturday for High Command.
Yeah.
So I played in the last chance qualifier knowing that I already had an invitation, but I wanted to, if I'm going to drive 9 hours to play games, I want to drive 9 hours and actually get to play the most games that I possibly can. So I got to play a full game, or a full tournament, 4-round tournament of Legion, with people with no pressure. Like, I felt kind of bad because there was a lot of pressure on some people and not on others because I already had my seat. This was just for fun. But I had some really cool games with Brian Baird, who's from Indianapolis, John Bushman from the Critical X podcast in Phoenix. Who else did I get to play? Jason Birdwell, we'll get to him.
He never used your name in vain. He just never referred to you by name.
That's right. And then David Asbel, who we had a lot of fun, who's kind of local. He's from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. So I got to meet people from all over the place and play some really fun games. During the last chance, we saw some weird stuff. I started off against Brian and a Vader Palpatine list.
Ooh.
That was kind of terrifying. I got a little bit lucky with some terrain. He tried to quad move his guards and wipe out my snipers, but they were just short by having to come around a tree and didn't get the shots that they needed, the melee attack that they needed, and didn't get the damage through that they needed with their ranged attack. And then my whole army just kind of chewed them up. And I won that game on points. The point score was, I think it was a like intercept transmissions 12-0, but I had like 6 or 7 models left by the time the game ended. He's Vader just couldn't clean me up fast enough because he basically needed to play for the table. Yeah. And Vader and Palp, if you kind of mismanage them just a little, you kind of are at a huge disadvantage.
Right.
Then I got to play Jason Birdwell. On table, I want to say it was like 9. We'll get to why that's important. And he played a Wonder Twins list with lots of snipers and some Wookiees. And it was a list I actually really liked. Kind of similar to my own, but I was running a Han, Leia, Chewie. And he was absolutely beating me. It wasn't really bad, but I was definitely behind. We were playing, I want to say, intercept transmissions again. I got some early damage in on Luke. And then Chewie just rolled in and Luke blanked all his dice and he turned into a fine red mist. And then some bagpulls and some lucky dice kind of put the game back into his favor, which I felt really good about because he did outplay me. And then just some good dice from me, some bad dice from him put me back in the game. So I was actually felt pretty good that he took me out. I would have felt really bad about winning the game off of that. But it was a really fun game. That's good. Then I got to play John Bushman from Arizona, Bushfacts on Discord. This is the game that I pretty much lost on the map, and then my own battle card deck deceived me. It was a liar, and he was running the goofiest list that I really want to run, but I don't think I have the cojones to do it. It was Luke and Han with 2 groups of Wookiee warriors and like 4 Z6 trooper maxed squads.
I like it. Oh. I like it a lot.
And I was playing double sniper team Han, Leia, Chewie. And it was this lots of high walls kind of blocking paths and limited visibility came up in the third slot conditions. Oh. So there was nothing I could do about it. So not only did it have all these walls for him to hide his short range Wookiees behind, but it blocked all of my sniper lanes. And then all my snipers were rendered even more worthless by limited vis. And it was just a bad time. He just mopped the floor with me. To his credit, I don't want to make it sound like it was just random chance or whatever that took me down, but it was a lot of stuff stacked against me to where I needed him to make mistakes, and he didn't. So it was still a fun game. We had a good time. We were We're both the fanatical Rebel players who will not apologize for loving Rebels as much right. as we do.
We call them terrorists as Imperial players.
So we had a really good time. And then David Asbull, my last game of the day, I finally got to play in AT-ST.
I'll always cheer for an AT-ST, man.
Yeah, four DLTs, triple snipers, a set of snows, and just a generic officer.
Ooh. All right, I got to hear how this goes, because I've been eyeballing this, because theoretically you shoot everything at range 4. You never get close enough. How'd it go?
I had some really good terrain to hide behind. And I kind of hid my snipers in some buildings to where he would have to get his snipers kind of in wonky places to pick mine off. He had some, I'm not going to call them bad dice. There were some less than great dice, but it always seemed, once again, I played a lot of intercept transmissions today. I think 3 of my 4 games were intercept, were where I would have just a unit leader left. So, like, he turned his AT-ST at one point and did a pivot to try to knock me off of a tower that I was tying up. He throws everything with his AT-ST, and he didn't have a second aim token from his action because he chose to pivot. And right. he blows the crap out of my squad of dudes, but the unit leader stays. Mm. That happened to him twice.
Them surges.
Did he have any surges?
Yeah, there were surges. Absolutely. There were. I want to say he rolled one set of dice that was like 5 surges.
See, there it is.
Pilot is going to be the greatest pilot in the vehicles.
So,
that man in the driver's seat.
His mortar did nothing all game. He kept trying to mortar my snipers, and he would just roll triple blank, triple blank, triple blank.
Oh, that's sad.
So it was a tough game. I got some good shots. Chewy pretty much held down the middle flank like by himself. It was awesome. it was what it was. I think he could have swapped a few of his target priorities just a little bit, and we talked a bit about it after the game. But we had a really fun close game. But you live and die on those AT-ST dice mm-hmm. when so much of your stock is put in it. And his command cards weren't, since you would just had the generic officer, weren't all that strong compared to me running Han, Leia, Chewie, where I've got all these cool, juicy abilities. Yeah. Like, even if I didn't get to go first or second, since he didn't have those maximum firepowers, those Master of Evils, those Implacables, those big, swingy Imperial command cards, that I didn't really have to worry about the command phase. I could just kind of do what I needed to do and not have to work around that counterplay.
Right. Which that's a whole different level of winning too, where you don't even have to worry about that. That's a whole section of the game that you can kind of let your brain rest. Which when you're in a big event like this, that can't be understated or overstated. I should say sorry. That can't be overstated, the importance of being able to have that mental rest in there and being able to focus on something mm-hmm. else.
So I will say a lot of the comments that you're sending back to us, You're like, I'm talking to these people. Or Will would send me messages like, I see a Slowoski over there. You know, he's Slowoskiing. He's talking to everyone he can meet. So what was the community like? I mean, because last year it was a brand new game. Like, we met some really cool people, but there weren't, what, 20 of us? I mean, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I got to see a bunch of friends that we made last year from Billy to Steven, who I think finished like ahead of me and as the better Rebel player, but he got the best overall medal. So I got the medal that said like best Rebels, which honestly kind of means more to me. I got to meet a bunch of friends that we had seen before. And then the cool thing was I got to meet, since I wasn't at LVO, a ton of people from the Discord, from Nerfly, who was my partner in the team event, to Garn, to Kingsley, to finally getting to meet LJ after we've been talking for almost a year.
Is he as handsome in person as he is on the internet?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. I met so many people, getting to meet all the Fifth Trooper guys, the Notorious Scoundrels, all the other podcasters, the Critical X guys, finally getting to meet Brendan, all these people who I've talked to, and we've kind of done this community thing together. And it was a really tight-knit group of people. And then, obviously, there's the non-content creators, the people who I don't necessarily play with all the time online. And just getting to meet all the other Legion players who, for one way or another, either made it to the last chance qualifier or to high command with the cooks, who are an absolute dynasty of Legion, taking father taking first, son taking second in the 64-man last chance qualifier. Oof. Like... That's a bloodline you don't want to mess with.
It's great to see those kind of numbers, that kind of diversity, that like that crowd. It's great to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, having come through X-Wing and, Atlanta was big, and then there were 300 people at Adepticon this year for that game. I mean, it's just, it's great to watch a community grow. I'm super proud of the Legion community over this past year. I really am.
Yeah, it was so much fun. There was not, I don't think anybody was there that we didn't have fun playing with. And the thing that I'm really glad of, and I hope we don't lose as the game grows, is there's no elitism. That's one of the things that I'm going to kind of dump on X-Wing for a minute. But there were those elitist X-Wing players, and we don't really have that yet. You can walk up to and approach and have a cool, casual conversation with absolutely anybody. I think the guys who rode in the car with me were waiting to go for food on Friday night. And it's, you know, us podcasters, bloggers, and a couple other people just sitting having a conversation for about 40 minutes about what the Gungans are going to do when they get introduced to the game. And if they'll be diverse enough to where you can actually field a full Gungan army and not have to put any of the Republic stuff in it.
I hope so. So much. we'll talk about when we get there, but I hope so.
Yeah.
In talking about the community though, I mean, it shines through too, even from non-Legion players. I saw a post, I believe it was on Facebook. I could be wrong, but I think it was on the Facebook. Someone had mentioned that they were not a Legion player. I think they were a 40K player or something like that. And they had kind of just looked over Legion. They saw it and they were looking at buying into it, but they weren't, you know, they weren't sold on it yet. And they said, well, you know, I'm at Adepticon, I'll just swing by. And they were blown away by how high quality the tables were, but also how engaged the community was, and how, you know, this person was talking about how they would just go up to a table that was mid game and someone would start explaining the game to them and just, you know, being really personable and being friendly. And they were really blown away with that, and that they now want to get into Legion because of the community. And that speaks volumes right there.
Yeah. So to kind of jump ahead of our script here, in game 3 of High Command, I'm once again, like, on table number 9 playing Jason Birdwell for the second game in a row, or second day in a row.
On the same table?
It was the same table. It was really funny. We didn't stop our game, but we definitely slowed our game down to show somebody who was curious, who was asking lots of questions about the game. Now, we are both 2-1.
Right.
And if you get to go 3-1, you have a good chance of making Worlds. There are only 2 3-1s that didn't make it. And so our game mattered. And neither one of us cared to stop and explain and show what we were doing to this prospective player. And I absolutely love that because, you know, my job as a podcaster, as a you know, community builder, that's my job. Jason doesn't have to do that. And he was probably doing more of the explaining than I was. He's just a guy who's here to come to go to High Command. And, you know, he ended up winning that game and killing my dream. But but we got to stop and do that. And that was so cool because we were in an incredibly important game, probably the most important game of our Legion careers at that point. And we still made time to chill and talk to and teach new people. And that, to me, this is the community that I want to be a part of.
Right. Yeah. And that shows. That shows.
I'm so jealous I didn't get to go. So jealous
I
didn't
get to go this year. Next year. Next year. We'll all go to next year. But speaking of High Command, tell me more about this High Command. What is this?
I don't understand. So we cut the field in half. We picked up the night after the last chance. We picked up the tables that were a little, you know, quote unquote weaker.
Right.
Luckily, the one that I played Bushman on did go away. It got put in a box. But we kept the half of the best tables, and it was 32 people who had either won or gone undefeated or close to undefeated in a huge tier event. Whether it was the LVO, whether it was one of the heats at Gen Con, whether it was the last chance qualifier, whatever it happened to be, 32 players threw down for the chance to get a top 8 spot at Worlds. And the level of play that day blew me away. Tonight at the game store, one of Brandon, who Tim was playing, asked me, how much better are those guys than us? And I don't want to be coy and I don't want to be mean, but all I did was laugh.
It's true.
Guys were incredibly good players. I learned where I need to level up my gameplay. I learned where my strengths were. I learned where my weaknesses are because each of these players who I had to play found it. And it was so much fun because my brain was on fire and I couldn't let go. I couldn't get off beat for just a second. I got to play, like, I started the day off where I, really tough. When you're loading up your phone and they put all the pairings online and they had it running on a board. And my first game was against Chris Cook from Buffalo, New York, who won the 64-man event yesterday. And I got a big lump in my throat. I was like, well, there goes my one loss for the day. I guess I'm pulling a Fowler and submarining it.
Submarine. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. Dive, dive.
So for those of you who don't know, submarine is where you lose the first game. So you're paired down against other players, and then you win your way back up to the top.
And yeah, you get to play rankings. Supposedly weaker players first.
And for those of you that don't know, what Hennening is when you lose the first game and then the second game and just keep going down. It's when your submarine reaches crushing depths and you just let it happen.
Yeah. Implode. It's like the Hunt for Red October where they don't fix the reactor.
That's right. Red October sinks. The end. Everybody sinks.
Until Tim decides to swear off the game and then stalks away from the table. It's pretty impressive. It really is.
That's right.
But my first game against Chris, I was a little worried. We played on this map with this cool, like, crosswalk, like this big X in the connecting the four corners of, like, this girded walkway, a bunch of, like, lava rocks and some heavy cover. And we both look at this map and we look at each other's list and we're like, holy cow, we're both glad that we're both rebels. Because this is a map that's terrible for rebels. You want nothing but, you know, all this difficult terrain and not a ton of line of sight blockers. Some good cover, but it was just kind of a nightmare. We played advanced positions, limited visibility, breakthrough. And I want to say the red player and forced limited visibility.
Okay.
And even though I was running, I had changed my list up a little bit for high command. I had taken my two sniper teams, and because their dice were pretty inconsistent during the last chance qualifier, it's the exact same amount of points to run a five-man team with a sniper. I decided to just do that so they'd have a little more survivability. And even though I'm not getting as much pierce, I'm getting a little bit more consistent of a dice pool to overcome that heavy cover. And then I took out Chewbacca, replaced him with some Wookiees, and then turned essentially my Pathfinders and the E-Stims that I had on Han and Leia into some more core units. So I was running 6 core, Han, Leia, sniper team, Wookiees.
Nice.
And Chris was running Luke, Leia, a set of Wookiees, 2 snipers, and 5 Z6 Rebels. And I forced limited visibility. We kind of ganged up on this rock in the middle, and I got the better end of the exchange with my bunker busters in my fleet troopers and a really clutch Han reckless diversion turn and neutralizing his Wookiees before they could ever do anything, and then tying Luke up in melee with my rebel troopers that weren't my scorers. While we were picking command cards to go into the last round, time got called, and I had a fleet trooper unit leader that barely managed to get across the line, being the only point that broke through because I tied up the troopers that he was trying to run to my deployment zone with in melee with one of the guys who was coheted to the back, pulling his trooper unit leader away. And we did the math, and like, even if we played the next round, he was going to get one more point and I was going to get 2 more. So I was going to want to win either way. So we just kind of called it. But it was a knockdown dragout game that came out to some really cool positioning. And I could tell that Chris was still a little tired from the day before, as he probably should be because he, you know, played 4 of the probably best games of Legion against really tough opponents. So I took the win and was feeling pretty good about myself, but it really came down to me knowing how to utilize limited viz better, I think a little bit more effectively than he did. Then I got to play triple rebel sabs in in Daniel Lupo, and it was, the map was pretty good for me. The dice were okay, I think, either ways, but I had never gotten to practice against Triple Saboteur Strike Team before, and I, needless to say, lost this game. It was kind of close until it wasn't. Han blanked a couple rolls to pick off his last detonator keyword guys when he probably shouldn't have. I got some good hits on Luke, but he kind of started to defend a little too high, a little too late, and I kind of got blown off the board. And this goes to show that this is not a popular style of play. I don't think Lupo's list, anybody can go and just pick up and play. He definitely knew what he was doing. It's a very technical list, and I learned a whole lot from that game. And it was a lot of, it was actually a lot of fun.
Oh, good. So you don't feel like your career was sabotaged at all?
No. I actually feel like I learned a lot from it. And I've had a couple players actually ask me when they heard that I lost to it. It's like, hey, can you bring that list to a tournament just to show me what it kind of does? And I can probably bring a really bad version of it. But take this as like, play what you want in Legion and find the best way to play it and do what you want to do and don't play the meta.
We were having that conversation tonight. Tonight was our local game night. And I don't know that there is a meta. Yes, there's lots of snipers, but I think you can play you play well and like, and you can do well.
Yep.
Your play style makes a huge difference in what units you choose.
Exactly. And even with the snipers being so prevalent, it's not saying that if you don't run them, you can't win. It's just saying, hey, this is a very common thing. And they're cheap, and so they're easy to throw in something. So I've seen... A lot of times the snipers are the one thing that unites a list that relates a list to another. It's, well, my list is completely different than yours, but hey, I got a sniper in the back or two snipers in the back. Well, of course do. 44
Didn't
points.
Destroyer of Dreams Birdwell not have any snipers at all?
No, he had two.
Oh, he had two snipers. Okay. And all those Wookiees. Yeah. Oh, never mind.
He had two snipers instead of Wookiees.
Yeah. But yeah, there's no meta.
And then I got to play Birdwell again on the same table. I had done some misdeploy of a couple things in that game, and then my dice just crapped out on me. So I was really far behind, but we set up this flank to where our Wookiees were kind of going to engage each other. And that game kind of came down to whether he could pull to get me back in the game. Like, he had a commanding position. I had made some good moves. But to get back in the game, I had made a play to where I was going to get my Wookiees to shoot his Wookiees first. And when it comes to Wookiees fighting Wookiees or even Royal Guards, it kind of comes down to who can remove a model first to lower that dice pool, that high variance dice pool that Wookiees give in either melee or range. And I had done Reckless Diversion on Han and my Wookiees, but he had played a one pip and gotten priority, goes fishing into his bag and pulls a Special Forces token. He did have three of them in there, so it's not like the most statistically improbable thing to have happen. But it was a bit of a heartbreak to where that was absolutely 100% the beginning of the end. And Birdwell took me back outside behind the shed and put me down on the same table for a second time. So the question is, does he get to become the first ever Slowoski named enemy of the podcast?
I was going to ask you this question. I'd had it prepared.
That is your divine right. You have the right to do so.
You have the right.
We had so much fun playing, even though he beat me twice in two kind of close games. The first one was very close. The second one, not so much. I can't do it. Like, I got to make a new friend, and because we played two games together, we spent like 6 hours over the course of that weekend together, chilling, hanging out. Like, I'm pretty sure we're in each other's wills now.
are you stepping?
Like, we had a good time. So no, he's not an enemy of the podcast. He's can we have a frenemy of the podcast?
Well, I was actually going to say, Tim, can we declare him hero of the podcast because he took Slowoski out back and showed him the business?
I'm fine with that. Yeah, we'll declare him a hero of the podcast.
I'll second that because he's a really friendly dude.
There we go.
The first ever hero of the podcast.
We'll prepare an official rule sheet, how you can enter your name to be called one. But
that's right. There's only one person who can never apply, and that's our archenemy, but that's fine. Exactly. Everyone else
We know who that is.
That's right.
And then I went down to the two-in-ones where everyone knew we were out of contention, but we were just here to play for bragging rights. And I got to play John Brader from Northern Virginia, and he had another very strange list. It seems like the list that I played on games four each day were very strange. And once again, it was just a generic officer. It was two full teams of Imperial saboteurs, but they had, instead of just the strike teams, the full bodies, a set of IRGs, and then snows with flag and frames, storms with medical droids, storms with DLTs. Like, it was just a ton of stuff. And he had recon intel on his saboteurs, and so they were able to run up and close with my commando team. It was the first activation, because I scouted forward, he also scouted forward, moved up, took his range two-shot, and completely eliminated my commandos. Ooh. First activation. We were playing Battle Lines Rapid Reinforcements Intercept. And so turn one went pretty bad for me because he had all the range advantage with four DLTs, had a great deployment on his IRGs, a questionable deployment, and we kind of talked about it a bit afterwards, on his snows, to where he kind of gave up one of the points in intercept transmissions that I put two Rebel Trooper squads on.
Right.
And then where I really pushed the game into my favor is I did all the cohesion tricks in the book that I knew to keep his rapid reinforcements from being good. And I had an absolutely phenomenal rapid to where my fleet troopers dropped in behind a line of sight blocking tree to where none of his stuff could see it, but with a single move I could get to where I would have a range two shot on some of his juicy high cost units.
Right.
And he kind of dropped a group of stormtroopers kind of in behind his officer in his back line, not really where he wanted them. And Leia was Han did next to nothing that game, but Leia was like throwing dodge tokens and taking pot shots and just, she was the hero, man.
Really? I don't hear that much anymore.
Yeah. I tied up some juicy units with my Wookiees. His officer managed to kill two of my Wookiees in melee, which was pretty funny.
Dang.
Like, yeah, his dice kind of abandoned him, and by kind of abandoned, his offensive dice were okay. His defensive dice were just atrocious, except for when it came to that officer and her kung fu fighting. Like, it was amazing. We had a really fun game because we were just playing for pride at that point. We weren't playing to get in. And it was a super fun way to end the game, or to end the day with John.
Yeah.
So I got to play eight incredible games. Three of them were incredibly tense and high level for high command. And then once I got knocked down, like, I got to play a friendly game with a very good opponent, which was a ton of fun.
Good.
So Tim and I were talking about this tonight. Yeah, I'm super jealous. And I'm also, I feel a little bad because we locally, we don't play with saboteurs. We couldn't prepare you for that. We would get these notes back from Ryan. I ran into more saboteurs. And I just like, oh, we didn't prepare him. Our boy's dying on the field, Timothy.
Would we really have prepared him, though?
No, because that requires you guys to show up to game night.
Listen, you know my Februarys are busy. I only halfway play this game. I'd be honest, I've never thought to buy three sets of Rebel Scouts.
They're terrifying.
I own two. I do. I only have one set of Imperials. So the idea of playing double or triple Sabs, I've never put them on the table. I'm just gonna be flat honest.
Yeah.
No, I second that. I saw the saboteur stuff when it first came out. I was like, oh, what a neat thing that I don't know how to do, and I'm probably never gonna do.
We talked in January. It's like, we've got to put Sabs on the table. You've got to get experience with this, and I ran out of time to help, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah. A couple interesting facts, though, about my run for the whole weekend in, like, quote-unquote competitive play, both the LCQ and High Command. I never lost to an Imperial list. All my defeats were at the hands of Rebels. And I want to say I went 50-50 with playing Rebels versus Imperials. I think I played each day two Rebels and two Imperials. So the field was really well represented, and you can tell where my experience as a player lies because I'm the only consistent Rebel player in Knoxville, so I shoot a lot of Stormtroopers. And that was definitely my comfort zone going in. And I'm not upset with finishing 20th out of 32 overall, going 2-2. And even if I would have made 3-1 going into the finals, My strength of schedule wasn't all that great, so I probably wouldn't have made the cut anyway. it was a super fun tournament. I learned a lot. I can't wait to see like where I will improve between now and next year. I know what areas I need to improve. I know where I need to get better. And I finished, it's funny, Jason Birdwell, hero, question mark of the podcast, finished 19th right above me, which is pretty funny.
More hero moves, keeping you humble.
And Austin, from our friend from Nashville, finished 1-3. I'm really sad we didn't get to play because I don't think we've gotten to play yet, even though we're just a one metro area apart. But we can say I'm the best player in Tennessee. So we got that going.
That's what I'd say. I mean, because where was our buddy Chase? You know, a great Nashville friend. He was not in
high command.
Oh no. Did he play?
Yeah.
He placed behind you in the last chance qualifier?
I was 35th. He was 36th.
Take it, Middle Tennessee.
Right next to each other, as we should be. So, but super, super fun weekend with great people. Win, lose, or draw. Those were some of the most friendly, fun games that I've ever played.
So speaking of friendly and fun games, did you get to do any team games?
Yeah, so I wasn't really sure what was going on with the team event because I was on the wait list. And I know the team event lots of people will drop out of, so I did end up getting to play. Me and Nerfly teamed up. We were going to play Imperials, but then we didn't realize with the stuff that he had card-wise, we didn't have enough to make a legal list, or at least the list we wanted to play. So we ended up playing Rebels, and the team structure is super goofy. You build two 400-point lists that have to contain a maximum of one commander and at least two cores. But since you can't take lists that are like one person's list is like 550 while the others is like 350, right, it has to be a stark 400. The list got really strange really quick. And we ended up playing Flyboys, where he took Han, 2Z6 Rebels, and Chewie, and I took Luke, a fleet trooper, a set of Wookiees, and just a four-man babysitter squad of Rebels. But you play with two full command hands.
Ooh.
And I think the Han-Luke list has the most tricks you can pull with that, especially when you put Chewie in there and Common Cause. Like, going Reckless Diversion, my allies the Force, to start the turn with 6 dodge tokens is pretty funny.
That's insane.
It's pretty lulzy.
That's disgusting. It's not insane. It's disgusting.
And then Chewbacca playing a 1-pip into Common Cause with Son of Skywalker, playing our 2 1-pips at the same time. Yeah. So Chewie does a thing, and then Luke does 2 attacks. It's pretty gross. Like, we did some pretty lulzy things. Our first game, our opponents were, like, for those of you that don't know, Nerfly played Civ with us a while back. It's probably off our VODs now on Twitch, but we streamed Civ 6, had a lot of fun with him.
Had lots of fun.
And he's a real active member of the Discord, and he's the best Vader player out there, period. Chance qualifier was on the wait list because he was one of the two players put on the wait list for high command if two people didn't show up or were late. And he was the highest ranking Vader player, and nobody played Vader in high command. So he can say he's the best Vader player, at least until Worlds happens, if nobody takes Vader there.
Nice.
And our opponents the first round were more casual guys. I don't think they played in the competition, or at least I hadn't bumped into them on Friday. So they were here just to have a good time. They played Vader, and so he was, like, anticipating everything they could do. And I was just doing Luke things, and, like, we were playing Breakthrough. So he's, like, doing this shooty bang bang game with his four guys, and I'm just running Luke at stuff, and then my other guys are just kind of running away to get in the deployment zone. And we had a lot of fun. And then our second game, we played against Team Impact X, if you're familiar with Nick Freeman's blog. And LJ writes there from some time. We played LJ and Ed. And Ed and Nerfly had an axe to grind, and me and LJ were just happy to be there. The map was pretty terrible for me and Nerfly. I screwed up turn 0 because it was during the lunch break between those two games where I think all the sleep deprivation and the carbs and the sandwich I had eaten had hit me, and were like, you need to stop playing games right now. And my brain went to just like mush, and Nerfly was in full try hard mode, and it was absolutely hilarious because now I see how my teammates in team events usually feel.
Yes.
And it was super fun to watch, and He went super try hard. Ed was taking him to task, and me and LJ were like intentionally like shooting each other's units to where the second half of the game, all of our dudes were either dead or mostly dead. So we just sat and chit chatted.
I move this one command token.
Yeah. So, but it was a really fun event. I can say I got to play with LJ, which was one of my goals for this event, since he was, you know, too busy like winning, doing really well at both tournaments. So, it was a ton of fun. The team event was a ton of fun with a bunch of silly stuff that you could do.
So cool swag. I mean, that's why I go to these events, is to pick up the free stuff and be like, ooh, yeah, that's pretty.
Absolutely, we got good swag. We got a bunch of last year's Luke and Vader extended art command cards. Got some cool standing orders cards. Got a couple copies of what's known as the Unicorn, the double-sided Veers Leia that's super hard to come by. I got some suppression tokens. I got another Imperial turn dial, like FFG, where's the Rebel support? And then I got cool Palpatine alt arts. So, and all the extra stuff that we got will either A, be going into contests that we'll run for the podcast here. And so you guys keep an ear open for how to win those, either on our Twitter or Facebook or future shows, and or they may be going into the ATC prize pool, which we'll talk about, I guess, in a little bit. But yeah, lots of good swag. Better people, but swag was pretty cool too.
Yeah, the palp art alt art was very, very nice. I looked at it tonight.
Yeah, it's sexy.
I like that a lot. Yeah. I like that a lot. Now, what about? I know you probably didn't care because try hard. But what about vendors? Yep. Anything like that? Because I know going to Gen Con for the first time last year, I was one of my favorite parts. Other than playing games, was seeing all the other games and seeing all those things. So were there vendors there?
There was a vendor hall that was relatively close to where we were playing. Mm-hmm. I didn't go there, at all.
By close, Curses. It's literally like 50 feet to Ryan's left. And he almost
right never it there. Really is.
There's so many new things. I don't
Adepticon's a little bit different than Gen Con, where it's mostly like miniatures stuff and lots of terrain and lots of hobby stuff. So there's not going to be like new release board games like Gen Con.
Oh, okay. That's different then. That's fair.
So if you've never been to Adepticon, listeners, you really should at least give it a try. You can fly into Chicago. It's not far outside Chicago. It's a great little convention center. Mm-hmm. There are ballrooms of 40K players, and there's this huge cavernous zone where FFG tends to keep their things. And there's an upstairs level that has more and more tables of people playing miniatures games. And Ryan saw about 100 square feet of it.
Yep, I did. I honestly may like Adepticon more than Gen Con, just because it is for us tournament tryhards. And I don't have to worry about all that other stuff.
That's true.
So yeah, there were tons of vendors and stuff there, Tim. We just need to get Will back on the show, because he got to spend a couple hours wandering around. I didn't.
All the beautiful, like the people who sell terrain there, it's really nice. Some guys giving some impressive painting kind of things. I mean, on the paint front, Ryan, what'd you win?
Yeah, I did. I also did win a Badger airbrush that I will be learning how to use. I've never airbrushed before. So keep an eye on our Instagram to see how terrible I am at it. It'll be fun. I just got a compressor in the mail, so I'm trying to get a little setup to start using it. But we'll see. I'm not, like, part of my problem with painting is I'm not super patient, and I'm not sure from the research I've done if an airbrush is going to help or hinder that.
There's only one way to find out.
I just want all the things to look like they're on the side of an 80s panel van.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Neon? I want it to be neon. I don't know how to paint. Oh my gosh, I need to get neon paints. What am I doing with my life?
Exactly.
Jesus.
Oh, man. I got a new paint scheme.
I guess the last shout-out I have to give for Adepticon, though, is our comrades, our brothers in podcasting, the Fifth Trooper, man. Jay and David and Dash and Orc, all those guys who, I know I'm missing Evan, I know I'm forgetting a ton of people, but who did the incredible broadcast for the Fifth Trooper on streaming. They streamed two tables at the same time. Oof. They had like a telestrator to where they could like draw on the screen and stuff. Their setup was absolutely incredible.
It really was super professional, super impressive. Oh, yeah. I mean, from the viewer's side, they were all dressed in suits and bow ties. It looked great.
Yeah. Yeah, so shout out to them. Like, go download their show if you don't already. Like, if you only have time for One Legion podcast, it better not be ours.
It should be ours, because we only put a podcast out once every 2 to 3 weeks. You have time to listen.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Talking to people at the convention, that was the one complaint I constantly got, is we should do more shows. But But we're not going to. I don't like Ben and Tim that much.
I don't play that much Legion. I mean, well, what'd you do, Ben? I thought about Legion before I made these notes to talk about it.
That's right.
Well, if Ryan manages to get his Badger airbrush just right and actually paint something that looks beautiful enough to take a picture of, you'll see it on our Instagram, where I like to post photos of things we've been working on. I got some of my specialists. Those were just went up in the past Instagram there. Some nice things to take a look at. Look at our events that we'll be having. We'll definitely plug them on the Instagram.
And we'll also be posting things on things like Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. You can rate us on iTunes, on everything, all those different platforms. We are at SW Stabcast.
Yeah, and you can also, if you want to support the show in a more tangible manner, check out our shirt shop at teespring.com/stores/stabcast. I'm hoping to get maybe some new logos and some new designs up soon, something I'm working on. But the thing I also really want is I would love for you guys to send us some questions at swstabcast@gmail.com. Also send us notes about your store, where you play, when you play, what night of the week, what do your tournaments look like. Send us some photos, and every time that someone shares some with us, we'll give a store a shout out on our show. So send us your info. Let us help connect you with gamers that maybe know our show but not your store, and send us info there. Check out the Discord server. Tim's pretty active on there. I'm pretty not, but feel free to tag me. I think we're all at Stabcast, Ryan, yeah. Ben, Tim.
Yeah, I think on Discord. Changed my name on there. Yeah.
Feel free to yell at us, to tag us, and we'll be happy to interact with you guys.
I try to keep up with as best I can, but I lurk where I can, pipe up where I can, but it's hard sometimes.
Well, Tim is in this year's Invader League. Because of professional things, I'm not going to have enough time for it, but I'll probably be streaming some of his games. So check out Tim's games. Check out the Invader League on Discord. They've got a massive group sign up. It's always great tables. I mean, the work they put into the Invader League is just super impressive. So check that out.
So if y'all want nightmares, just imagine the fact that I am the only Stabcast member in the Invader League this season.
When I told LJ I wasn't going to be able to make it, I'm like, I hate to do this, but I'm not going to be able to do this. Tim is our representative.
Oh, roll your dice for me, kids. Roll your dice for me.
If you don't like to play games online and would like to play games in real life, you have to check out the American Team Championship. It's one of the great 40K events, but they're expanding into Star Wars Legion. July 12th and 13th. Check that out at whatc.org.
Yeah, it'll be here in East Tennessee, in Chattanooga or the Cleveland area. Kind of close to us, and we will be there streaming it, judging, possibly participating. We're not really sure what we're doing yet, but we will be there.
That's correct.
We really want to grow it, because the 40K crowd for that event is huge, hundreds and hundreds of people. And we know we're not going to do that with Legion, but we'd really like to start building up to be a big 32-man, 64-man event in a couple of years. So if you want to come travel to the Smoky Mountains, come hang out, spend a day Saturday with us. It'll be 4 fun games of Legion.
Heck yeah. Speaking of that, start making long-term plans. We have Tennessee's only Rally Point qualifier here in Knoxville on September the 21st. It's Sci-Fi City. We'll get you some details on what we'll be doing, when to do, how to register. But you can drop the kids off in the mountains in Gatlinburg at the aquarium, or let them play in Dolly Parton's Dollywood Amusement Park. You've heard the rumors. It's a fantastic place, I promise you.
It is.
Dolly's the most fantastic woman ever. So.
It is.
And then you can come down and bring Doom to Ryan and I.
That's right.
Tim's already got the Doom, so I mean you can.
That's right. Yeah, I got enough Doom for a lifetime.
Yeah, Tim's got enough Doom. But
if you
want to
see how mad I get in real life, just come watch me. It's fine. I'll never get mad at you. I'll just get mad at myself and then cry in the corner when I think no one's looking. But it's okay.
All right. We also got a huge news drop while we were at Adepticon.
Such news.
Yeah, we did.
Much wow.
Was in a during the press conference, I was in a resin class to learn how to do water effects, so I wasn't there.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm trying to level up my hobby game, all right?
Okay, but this is new stuff.
Yeah, but they didn't announce the press conference till I had already paid to go in the class, and I learned a lot, so it was cool. But yeah, we got a bunch of new factions, a bunch of news drops. So Tim, what are you most excited about?
Oh, I'm actually, I, I, I guess I'll say clones, but I'm torn. I like both. I might actually buy into both sides this time around and dive in. I don't know what I'm going to be playing more. I'm really going to have to try both out. I don't know. I like both. I'll probably go clones, but I don't know. I'm feeling those robots. I love that the clones right now is from what we can see. I like getting Obi-Wan. That's neat. That's fun. I know they're expensive, and rightfully so. I love that you can get the best heavy weapons from both sides. From both sides currently. Do you want a DLT that's better than the current DLT? Sure, no problem. What's that? A Z6 on a Stormtrooper squad? You got it, bud.
Is it better than the Imperial DLT? Because it doesn't surge. So it's actually a little worse.
It has that critical effect on it, though.
Yeah.
But it has that crit effect.
I don't know which will be better.
I'll throw a Z6 all day long with the defense die of this red.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know yet. I mean, obviously, this is still super early to say anything definite. I'm excited for both. I know, Ben, you're on the all board the robot train.
I am all on that robot train. I have wanted droidicas the entire... I was hoping droidicas were coming to Imperial Assault just so I could put them on that table.
I'm all about some droidicas. I'm right there with you.
I love me some Roger Rogers. I love me some B1 battle droids. Let's put them... Right. You get so many of them, and they're not good. Like, they don't surge for anything. They have... But their ability to just have as many as far as the eye can see... You'll have you'll have tiny droids everywhere, and they all fire before they do anything else. And I kind of like that. Like, shoot first, move, and think about it later.
That's right. It's interesting. And maybe that's why I like it. Maybe it'll be something I can finally win with. I don't know how that would make me feel. My hurt my feelings a little bit more than losing does, but I don't know.
As a man who just unpacked his X-Wing Clone Wars stuff, I mean, I don't know that I can go into both factions. I want to. I like the clone troopers. Yeah. I love Obi-Wan. I just love Obi-Wan. I do. Especially young. I love Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan. But so I'm going to have to look at my choices. Do I do both factions? And then I have four factions. And God, I can't paint enough now as it is.
Yeah. I feel that. Well, honestly, though, I think this is where to tout TTS for a second, the tabletop simulator mod. First off, amazing mod. Let's just say that right now. That's what they use to play Invader League on. This is where it can really come in handy, too, of something like this. And new units coming out right now of, do I like this? I don't know. Like Death Troopers. I own one Death Trooper. I like the idea of two. I'm going to try it and see how it goes. I don't know what I'm going to end up running, what I'm going to end up buying. But it's a great way to try out things, new things, crazy things, all that stuff. So that's, I think, I'll probably do a lot of TTS games before I buy in. All wholeheartedly. We'll see. We'll see.
So,
Brian, did you see anything?
Did you just see him? I saw pictures online.
You know, that display case where they were shown off was like 100 feet away from me.
So that's a no, kids. That's a no.
But yeah, I was too busy talking to the esteemed members of our community. And like the vendor hall closed at 6 p.m. So I was still in tournaments then.
It does close a little
and
early.
And so no, I didn't go look at them.
What side are you going to buy into?
I'm really fortunate. Like, we talk about a lot how the metagame doesn't really exist and play what you like and play what's fun for you. If you look at any of the miniatures games or even games like Twilight Imperium or like modular player power games, the Rebels are my play style. Lots of synergy, hit and run, kind of flexible, but also kind of brittle, and get to play that kind of mind game. That's my faction. And right now, I'll probably fiddle around with a faction. If I have to buy into one, it'll probably be clones.
Yeah.
But I'm super happy with my Rebs right now, and I don't really have a whole lot of interest in dropping the amounts of money that I'm going to need to. With that said, the two pieces of coolest news for me weren't the new factions, even though that is awesome, and I can't wait for this to be a four-faction game. Everything is going to be released after the Clone Wars in new hard plastic, and it's going to come on sprues.
Yes.
So it's going to take a little bit more hobbyist in us to like clean our models and our mold lines and all that. But for those of us that live in the Southeast, we're in Knoxville. No more bendy lightsabers.
Oh, but my Vader's laser whip detail is amazing.
It's the detail on these models will be better, and I'm actually looking forward to going and rebuying a couple of because they're not only going to do the new stuff in the hard plastic, but they're also going to go back and reprint all of the existing models in the hard plastic. And so there's definitely a couple models that I'm going to go back and want to repurchase.
I don't know.
It will make it easier to prime. It will.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I can see that. So in the South, because there's so much humidity, and it has rained in Tennessee for like 47 days straight. So painting in January.
It's going to rain tomorrow, for the record. Just saying.
It is. And it rained 2 days ago.
That's not a lie. That's the truth. It's going to rain tomorrow.
Yep.
So most of my painting in the wintertime happens in, I spray paint in my bathroom because I can at least take the exhaust fan up because it's dry enough in my home because I can't get out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plastic everywhere. If anyone looks in, it looks like I'm murdering people.
So for me, that's the cool news.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
But I still, again, I'm still going to be a little emotionally attached to my bendy lightsaber. And I realize that no one knows what I'm talking about unless you've played me in person. So one of these days, we'll have to take a picture, put it on the Instagram. And,
yeah, you know, put it on Instagram.
My Vader definitely has
I'll make Nerfly cry. Rip,
not a lightsaber.
Yeah, I'll make Nerfly cry with it, and he'll take away my Vader rights or something.
The other cool thing that they're doing that I'm excited about, not so much for the product, but for the precedent it sets, is the card packs. They're going to put out a card pack along with the core box to get new players who might be buying into CIS or Republic up to speed with all of the grenades and environmental gear and targeting scopes and all the upgrade cards that you're going to need to play the game.
That's
good. So you don't have to go buy single cards. And that, to me, obviously, I've got all those cards. I hope they'll include for people like me the stuff that's going to come in the core set that maybe like force powers that Luke can use.
Right.
But that's a great precedent going forward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that helps it. That makes it so much easier to get into for new people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the community's been asking for it across a lot of FFG games. And so I'm kind of glad to see them head that direction. It's a good thing. It's the right thing, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this episode marks our 20th, and this is our one-year anniversary. A year ago, Ryan, Will, and I saw this new hobby, and we were talking about it and planning about it. And since the three of us and lots of our friends in Knoxville spent a lot of time traveling to play X-Wing, and we just talked about the cool stuff and the ideas that came to our head, he said, you know, we should try making a podcast out of this. We should really record ourselves. Yep. And let's do it with this new game. Let's see what our experiences were. And I'm just super glad that we did. I've had an awesome time over this past year, and we've had some dips we weren't able to record. Life is busy for the three of us, and I just means that we're actually more popular than all the other podcasters in our real lives. But
yeah, that's right. That's probably true.
That's right.
It's been great, and I just want to thank the listeners for staying with us. It's been a fantastic time, and here's to many more episodes, gentlemen.
Right, and I appreciate being able to come on kind of midway through. That was nice, because I remember when you all discussed this idea and kind of threw it out there, I think it was in the car when you started talking about it, of, hey, I think the three of us are going to do that. I'm like, yeah, heck yeah, absolutely, that's awesome.
And Tim's so been in the nice background of almost all these conversations. He's been standing next to us. He's been our shadow commenter.
That's right. Crying a little bit, mostly. But it's fine. Yeah. But no, it's been really interesting, and it was actually a really good really good way to do it, honestly, to go from listener to podcaster, because it helps me a little bit from what angle I want to take it. But it's been a great honor to do it and to be so involved and to see this community coming together.
Yeah, from all the people who came up to me at the show, you know, it was really funny. I think like Billy was like the only one last year who said, yeah, I listened to like the one episode you guys put out before Adepticon and I liked it and it's cool to meet you. But here, having the handful of people who come up to me and introduce themselves, like knowing who I was, it was like a huge honor to be able to meet you guys. And boy, are you fools for listening to us taking what we have to say somewhat serious. But it was so cool to be a part of this community. You know, I know that we weren't the first podcast, Legion podcast out there, but we were kind of close. And to have you guys grow up as a community with us over the past year, and for us to still be as into this game as we all are. It's not like that hot new minis game that we play for 6 months and then put down when a new Warhammer edition comes out, or whatever that next hot game is. But for all these people to be bought in, and the support we've received has been so, so, so cool. So guys, keep rolling dice, keep gaming with us. And before we get like too emotional and sappy, I think that's an Adepticon episode.
I think so.
It is.
So you guys rock.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, Everyone that was at Adepticon talked about it. So there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. You had a full review from the entire podcast that was there and some questions from us too. It's okay.
Yeah. So guys, thanks for the past year of listening to us. Thanks for the friendships that we've got and the games we've gotten to share. I hope to do it again for another year. And I'm Ryan Slawoski, reminding you that you too can make 20th at High Command.
I'm Tim Hanna, and I'm reminding you that you too can play this game.
And I'm Ben Fowler, reminding you, where are those droidicas?
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I was trying real hard not to get slightly racist with that accent.
You did good.
It is very difficult to do, George Lucas. Thank you very much to have that joke and not go into terrible stereotype.